let's talk some baseball. The John Heyman Report is brought to you by Sports Clips. You watch sports, we cut hair. It's perfect sports clip. It's good to be a guy. By Merrick Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, and Ram. And by Brother Supply, your number one source for ice air, PTAX, water source, heat pumps, and fan coils. John Heyman joins us here on The Fan. How are you, John?
I'm good. How are you doing, Jody Mac?
Good. I have not talked to you in a couple of weeks, so first things first, July 31st for John Heyman, best day of the year or biggest pain in the butt?
Probably the latter, but thank you for asking. I got to be honest, you know. It's
That's why I asked.
There's a million things going on, and it's great when it's over, though. August 1st is my favorite day of the year.
Yeah, there you go.
I look at it that way.
That makes sense. And, oh, by the way, I had the MLB Network on all day long. You and Joel and Kenny Rosenthal all did a great job for the MLB Network that day. Did the Yankees miss out on that day? And they know that the Judge goes down. The early optimistic report was maybe 3 weeks. It's been two, and he's still in pain, so three now looks overly optimistic. Brian Cashman made some nice additions to the Yankees leading up to the trade deadline, but never got another outfielder to fill the Judge void for as long as it's going to be. Did he miss out?
You know, I'll give the disclaimer that I think I had the Yankees second or third on my big winners list, and I thought overall they did really well. I thought Britton was a necessity. I know some people weren't as concerned about Chapman as I was, but watching that game where he threw 11 straight balls, I think it was against the Mets, I could be wrong, but 11 straight balls, I'd be concerned. So I think getting Britton was a very good idea. Jay Happ, they needed to get something for that rotation. Lance Lynn, more for the rotation. So they added depth to the rotation. They added quality. I thought they did very well overall, and I'll stick with that. But did they miss out? I do think so. There were a few names I threw out there. I don't know how easy they would have been to get, but one of them was Hunter Renfroe, who had a grand slam last night to win for the Brewers. Of course, this is second-guessing, and I don't know if the Yankees were involved or not, but they needed a right-handed bat who had power. And, you know, Hunter Renfroe, obviously he's in San Diego. A lot of people know about him in New York, but he's got power potential. He has not had a great major league career to this point, but that's the kind of guy they needed to get. And my assumption is that he doesn't cost that much money. He was a product of the previous regime in San Diego. My belief is he's been on the block and he could have been gotten. But, you know, it's easy to nitpick after the fact. I do think they needed a right-handed bat.
Yeah, so did I. And I did it before the fact, so I don't have a problem doing it after the fact. But I also agree with you overall. I'm not saying, oh, my God, what the hell is Brian Cashman doing? I think he did a damn good job.
Yes, he's terrific.
May have missed on one.
I think so.
All right.
Shane Robinson, yeah, they would have been better off having a power bat who's been starting the last week rather than, you know, a clear backup player.
Follow up on your Britton point. Chapman, again, walked a couple of guys, came in, had a shaky inning, but got the job done and saved the game. I think we have to assume that he'll be fine and he'll be their closer for all the key games in September and into October as well. But if an injury crops up and or it gets worse and he really can't throw strikes and you have fear of bringing him into a game, Britton been there, done that, best reliever in baseball. But the best guy pitching in Yankee pen right now is Betances.
Mm-hmm.
Which way does the manager go if all of a sudden Chapman isn't either available and or you have confidence that he's the guy to get those all-important last three outs?
Yeah, I think based on history, you got to go to Britton next. And they did go to Britton in Chicago. He gave up a two-run homer to Abreu to tie the game. So he didn't get the job done in his first opportunity to save. But based on the history of closing, Britton, as you said, a few years ago was the best closer in the game, still throws 97. I think he's the second call. The third call would be interesting, but I think it probably would be Betances based on the fact he is throwing the best right now. He's incredible talent. He has not been great in closing situations. That may just be a matter of a small sample size or maybe he just wasn't throwing his best at that time. We know he's had some control problems occasionally in the past, but he's probably the third call, even though they have Robertson out there. And, boy, they have obviously a terrific overall pen in terms of talent, but that doesn't always come to fruition when you play the games.
John Heyman here with us on The Fan, talking all things baseball. Speaking of closers, Kenley Jansen back to L.A. last night, physical issues. Dodgers got the save anyway and got the win last night. It looks like that's going to be a great race all the way to the wire between they and the Diamondbacks. How much would missing Jansen for a period of time compromise the Dodgers in your eyes?
Yeah, it would be huge. The guy is one of the best two or three closers in the game. I don't want to leave Kimbrel out, who's actually had some struggles in the last week or two, but he's terrific as well. But Jansen, a fantastic pitcher, also fantastic in the clubhouse, terrific individual. I am more worried about him from a personal standpoint. Terrific guy, and I hope they can get this irregular heartbeat under control. It's cropped up in the past, and it's certainly concerning for his health more than anything, but also for the team.
D-backs and Dodgers battling in the West. Colorado, you can't count them out, but they're on the outside looking in right now.
Mm-hmm.
You got the Braves and the Phillies, and the Nats looking a little better these days. The National League is wide open. Who are the two wild card favorites in your eyes?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm going to say the Dodgers win that division. The Cubs win the division, and I'm going to go with the Phillies. So I guess I think all three are still in front. Phillies have been impressive. That rotation has really been shockingly good. So I'm going to stick with that. That could be flipped very, very easily. As you know, we could have Milwaukee, Arizona, and Atlanta or the Nats winning. But I'm going to go with Milwaukee and Arizona as the wild cards for now. I had the Nats winning at the beginning of the year. They have been a massive underachiever. They've been a very, very interesting team. There was a threat to potentially trade Bryce Harper. It wasn't very likely at the deadline, as we know. I think eight teams called them. I don't think they ever seriously considered it, but they did some funky things at the deadline, basically releasing one reliever who was doing well, and Sean Kelly, a guy that we're familiar with in New York and is generally a good guy, but made the mistake of throwing his mitt during that 25-4 Nats victory over the Mets, and Mike Rizzo, the GM, didn't take too well to that, and then traded Brandon Kinsler when I apparently thought he was the leak of some negative quote in a Yahoo report by Jeff Passan. I think he fingered the wrong guy in this case, but he made a statement and shook things up and brought in Greg Holland, a guy he's always liked. And you know what? You're right. The Nats are playing better. So I'm not counting them out either, but my picks would be Milwaukee and Arizona to take the wild card right now.
Let me follow up on the Nats, because I had a strong take, if not definitive take, on this. I think somebody got hoodwinked, or too many people got hoodwinked. Bryce Harper wasn't being traded. I think Mike Rizzo floated that to get a reaction out of his superstar and maybe out of his entire 25-man roster.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure whether it was ownership, and he had to just look into it and pretend he was looking into it and didn't seriously consider it. That would be my kind of take on it. I don't think Mike Rizzo floats anything. You know, I don't think... I like Mike, but I don't think he's a floater with the media. He's never floated anything with me. I'm assuming he's not floating with anybody. He doesn't like anything getting out, which is probably why Kinsler's not there, even though I think he got the wrong guy. And so, you know, it was a very interesting thing. I will agree with this. I don't think Rizzo ever intended to trade Bryce Harper. There were discussions, and if there are discussions, it's worthy of a story. I, along with most of the people in the media, never gave it much chance. We always called it a major long shot. You never know with these things. You don't want to ever say this is crazy. Of course they're not doing it, and just in case there's a 1% chance somebody's really angry. Look, the Nats do some funny things. They fired Dusty Baker off of two 95 win seasons, I believe. You know, you never know when somebody gets upset, but I'm with you that I don't think it was serious, but I don't think Mike Rizzo's a floater or a leaker. I think he goes the other way. If anybody floats or leaks, he goes crazy on him.
You get pushed out of town. All right,
yeah.
Fair enough. Yes, July 31st is the trade deadline, one of your busiest days. Nuts, take a big, deep breath on August 1st. But trades can still be made. We've even had a couple. We've had guys who are let go on waivers, put up on waivers, claimed, and then let walk out the door, including Tyson Ross, which I actually think was a pretty good claim by the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm, I would agree.
Verlander got dealt on August 31st, which is the last day before you're ineligible to be in the postseason for that team. So we still got several weeks to go to that. Active period, a key guy or two. How do you think August and the waiver trades shake out?
Well, I think the speculation, and I wrote about this on FanCred, is more interesting than probably the reality. I do think that Josh Donaldson, if he ever gets on the field, will clear waivers if he hasn't already, and potentially somebody could be interested. A $23 million salary is obviously very high, but we've played so much of the season, it's now down to $7 million, and by the time he's actually traded, it may be $6 million, and of course Toronto can pay that down if they can get a prospect. So I think there'll be good speculation of interesting names. I'm not sure if any of them will go. Josh Donaldson, still not on the field. He's due to test his leg this week, so we'll see about that. Adrian Beltre, full no trade. I think they have to find exactly the right team. Same goes for Adam Jones, full no trade. He rejected the Phillies, and you talk to people, and it was over family and friends and all that, and I believe it, and charity. But you have to find the right situation, too. I mean, he's got to go. He's going to be a free agent. He's probably not going to want to go to a team where he's sharing an outfield spot. And with the Phillies, I would appear on paper that he'd be sharing a spot with Nick Williams in right field. They're not replacing Odubel Herrera or Rhys Hoskins. So Adam Jones is another one. There's four or five guys like that. There are big names that are possible. The more likely ones are the starters who are doing okay, not great, like a Marco Estrada. We saw Tyson Ross go. Somebody like that will pass through waivers and go. I was surprised about Tyson Ross because he does not have a huge salary, but I guess people look at a 4-5 ERA in San Diego and think it's below average, and I think that's why he was able to be traded at this point.
Actually, I think the Cardinals made a pretty good pickup there.
Yep.
Last question, Mets related. Bet you haven't gotten it asked this way just yet. The Mets will name their next general manager, not who, but when. What do you think the timing is? How does it shake out that they make a commitment to someone to become their next general manager? Does it happen shortly after the season, a month after, not till after the winter meetings? How do you think the timeline plays on the Met decision?
Well, if it doesn't happen until after the winter meetings, they've made a major mistake. I'm not precluding that possibility. They've made a couple mistakes in their day, but you've got to have a GM in place before the winter meetings. Not like a manager. The general manager is in charge in the winter, so they got to do it quickly if they can after the season. I am not seeing any evidence that they're in the middle of this. There are some names floating around. I don't think they're really starting in earnest, so I think it's going to happen after the season, but if they do it right, it's got to be shortly after the season. I know it's a big decision, so you can't do it in a day probably, but they better do it within 2 weeks after the season, I think.
We're reading them all the time on FanCred. You catch him on the MLB Network, and he's on with us every week here on The Fan. John Heyman, always a pleasure. Thanks for the insight, bud.
Thanks, Jody Mac. See you later.
John Heyman here with us.